first up here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Poliakova with you. The song is City of Blinding Lights. Indeed, the track featured in the Entourage episode, I think it was in season 2, played by U2 for Johnny Drama's birthday. So, Coco, it's only natural we welcome in the Vincent Chase of the NFL gambling community.
Oh, nice.
He's from Covers.com, the host of the Simple Handicap podcast. And let me tell you, I listen every single day. It's a must-listen for anyone looking to become a better NFL gambler. A treat to welcome to First Up for the first time. It is Adam Chernoff. Hey, man, what's going on?
I would be more of like the resurgent turtle at the end of the series than I would be anywhere near Vince Chase.
I mean, Jamie Lynn Sigler, you could do worse than that, right, Adam?
I went well above my weight class in real life, too, so there's more similarities than less.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Jeez. Well, it's great to have you on the show, man. I've been a follower and a fan of yours for a long time. And why don't we start with everything that happened yesterday, and we'll look ahead to the weekend in just a moment. Let's start with the Bills. I'm sure you're aware, my man Carlo, a huge Buffalo Bills supporter, and we've been trying to figure out what exactly we can derive from that win yesterday. New Orleans offense, so impotent without Kamara and Ingram, Trevor Siemian, they weren't able to generate anything. What do you take away from what you saw in that 31-6 win yesterday?
Not a whole lot. I mean, the thing that stood out most to me was earlier in the week, Sunday press conferences, Monday press conferences, Daboll, McDermott were visibly emotional and visibly angry within their press conferences. And those are two pretty stoic guys generally. And they sort of outlined how big of an emphasis they had on this game. And they certainly came out and delivered 5.8 yards per play. They were able to run the ball on a Saints defense that's been very good against the run, but more importantly, get Josh Allen working with his legs, which is huge for this offense overall. The turnovers, still concerning for Allen, especially those in the red zone. It's becoming a bit of a problem as we've seen his accuracy on short passes this season regress a little bit. But it was a good win to hold over looking forward to that game next week against New England, which is going to decide so much. But let's see how big of an impact Tre'Davious White not being in the lineup is going to have for this Bills defense, which is really built around defending the pass.
Yeah, that's going to be a concerning trend. Obviously, the injury that he suffered, there still hasn't been any, definition of what it is, but doesn't look promising. But for Bills fans, you just hope it's there. But what if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan and you walk into the game yesterday as 7-point favorites against the Las Vegas Raiders, who are losers of 3 in a row? You just come off of a disappointing performance against the Kansas City Chiefs. You're at home. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's the primetime game on Thanksgiving. And you lose outright to the Vegas Raiders. And not only did you lose, you gave up 36 points to the Vegas Raiders. How concerning is that for the Dallas Cowboys and their potential for the rest of the season?
It was an indictment of their defense. And look, these are DBs all season that have got credit for interceptions and big plays. But we saw what happens when they gamble and it doesn't work. And also what happens when they're forced to cover great route runners. These guys make interceptions, they make big plays. But if you look at some of the grading, especially on a guy like Diggs, who leads the league in interceptions, but in just pure coverage grading, he's one of the worst DBs in the league. And so I know there were a lot of penalties, and it upset everyone, but they were all penalties, especially the ones in coverage. And so that's what happens when this Dallas defense is forced to cover elite route runners that the Raiders have on the field. And so that's been a concern at many times this season, but the Cowboys' offense has been able to disguise it. But when you take away Cooper and you take away Lamb, weapons number 1 and 2, that's what you get from the Cowboys. It's a defense that has a lot of issues in coverage. And when the offense can't score to disguise that and put the Cowboys ahead so the defense can take those gambles and play downhill, that we saw exactly what happens. 509 yards for the Raiders, 6.5 yards per play, nearly 9 yards per pass. It was a dominant performance. And it's just an issue that the Cowboys have had all year that's been disguised, and they're going to have it going forward.
Breaking news from Adam Schefter. Anthony Brown just charged with his 5th defensive pass interference call. And the game's over. He's still picking up more DPIs. Adam Chernoff is our guest from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap podcast. Let's look ahead to the weekend. And I think whenever there's a coaching change in the NFL, think back to when John Gruden resigned or whatever ended up happening there. We were always a little bit uncertain about what's going to transpire with the team the following week. Now, we have a situation this week with Jason Garrett. He's out as OC of the Giants. How do you handicap that game with the Giants and the Eagles, considering that situation?
Thank you for sparing me a Bears-Lions recap, by the way. I know the Swedes.
Exactly. I don't want to talk about the Bears and Lions anymore. We can skip
the
past
Nagy versus Campbell Bowl.
Oof. The Garrett news is huge because I think of Kitchen stepping in. And so don't remember, if you're listening to the show, Kitchens as the head coach. Try remember him as the interim offensive coordinator. This is a guy who's a much better OC than he is a head coach. And so now he gets put back into that role. And what it does is it brings a lot of uncertainty on a short week, because news when it's announced Monday morning, for the Eagles to adjust. And where it gets interesting is Jonathan Gannon, who's the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, for years he was one of the best week-to-week game planners in the NFL. This year he's just kind of conceded all of that, and he sits in what's looked at as the softest defense in the NFL. He doesn't blitz, they don't generate much pressure, and he allows the highest opposing quarterback completion percentage. When you put all of those things together, it makes up for a great spot for Daniel Jones when he thinks about where he struggles. And what I like about Kitchens stepping in is the one thing that Freddie Kitchens does well as a play caller is really simplify the game for his quarterback. They use a lot of multiple tight end sets. They use extra running backs and protections. The route tree is very simple. And that's what Daniel Jones and this offense desperately needs. And so when Kitchens stepped in 2018, Mayfield went from a guy that we weren't sure was deserving to be a starter. Did he not sit long enough? Should he be in there? With Kitchens, he finished the season. His yards per attempt was up nearly 2 yards versus the first 5 games he played without him. Mayfield finished 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions versus 8 and 6 without him. I think this is a big boost for the Giants offense, which is now getting healthier. And it's just the perfect opponent for all of this to sort of come together within division. And you're getting 3.5 points above the field goal. Have to take the Giants plus the points here.
Yeah, I'll never, ever put my confidence in a Giants team led by Daniel Jones.
That's why he's Adam Chernoff and you're Carlo Kolaiakovo.
That's why I said that's why he's Adam Chernoff and I'm Carlo Kolaiakovo. Let's look at some of the other games, Adam, and maybe you can offer some advice to some of our Survivor Pool contestants that are still remaining. It's a tough week if you've already used a lot of your big dogs. And a game I think most people are asking is, would you use a survivor pick on the Houston Texans that are at home against the New York Jets, who are led by Zach Wilson?
Not a chance. And it's beyond just the fact that I like the Jets, and I'll tell you why. If you've made it this far in Survivor and you made it through the Thanksgiving week, if that was part of your contest, don't go out on the Houston Texans. You're never going to live with yourself when that happens. But it's a spot where I think the Jets can win outright. And one of the most important stats to look to as the bettor is something extremely simple. It's net yards per play. And it really reflects how strong or how weak teams are. And so if you're ever uncertain of how bad teams really are, you can look at net yards per play, and it'll give you really good insight. We know both of these two teams are bad. But in no way do I ever find the spot where the Jets are worse than the Texans. And if we look to net yards per play, the Jets are nearly half a yard per play better than the Houston Texans. Last week, something very important to look to as well as a better is just go to the box score after the game in whatever score app you use and look at the total yardage differential and look at the net yards per play differential between the two teams. Last week, the Jets lost, but they outgained Miami. They just struggled in the red zone. On the other hand, Houston won, but they put up just 3.1 yards per play, which was the worst of the week. They were outgained by nearly 300 yards, but they benefited from 5 Tennessee turnovers. When you see that as a better, you sort of identify that as a misleading box score because the week after always adjusts to it. This game adjusted up for Houston, which I don't agree with. And the Jets defense has been the struggle. They've given up 550 to New England, 530 to Indianapolis, 500 to Buffalo. But those are all top 10 offenses. in the league. And now to step back, they play Houston, who's 28th in offensive efficiency. This is the worst offense and defense the Jets have faced all season. So it's a big step down in weight class for New York. They can't be a dog here to Houston. This is a pick 'em game at worst. I'm happy to take the Jets, and please don't take Houston and Survivor.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You've come far too – it's been far too long of a journey in Survivor pools. If you've made it all the way to week 12 and you're going to use Houston, I don't care who they're playing.
Okay, but here's another thing. I just looked at our first up Survivor pool. There is 11 people left.
Oh, wow.
Because 4 people took the Cowboys yesterday, and 1 person took the Lions.
Wow, they took the Lions? I mean, the Lions were like, what, +3.5 heading into that game, or +3 by game time? That's a ballsy pick. Ballsy pick.
11 people left in the first up Survivor pool.
Wow, that's going to be an interesting finish. I bet maybe there'll be one winner this year. Last year, I think we had 15 winners. Yeah. This year, there may be indeed one winner. I'm sure Adam's in the pool. He's probably going to win. So why don't you break down a game on Sunday afternoon between the L.A. Rams and the Green Bay Packers, two of the top teams in the NFC. This line opened with L.A. as a 2.5-point dog, has been bet to +1 in favor, or I guess, for the Rams. So they're now -1, actually. I'm looking at it this morning. So some significant line movement in that one. How do you attribute the type of line movement that we've seen so far in the Rams and the Pack?
It's the right move, and I still think there's a little bit of room for this to go yet. And obviously we're late in the week, so there's a lot of value gone from this line. And if you're looking at it and you can get the Rams on the money line, still worth a wager because Green Bay, they're without Jenkins and Bakhtiari on their offensive line. The last time we saw this was week 1. They get smashed by the Saints, and they couldn't protect Rodgers one bit. But the significance of those two injuries is it's obviously their best two offensive linemen, but the other three guys on the offensive line, when you're looking at player grades for the season, neither of them are in the top 90 in the offensive line at their position in the league. And when you think about how many teams there are and how many players play at certain positions, not being inside the top 90, not a good prospect. It gets even worse when you consider that Rodgers now has his fractured toe that he's willing to show off at interviews for some reason.
COVID toe.
Rex Bryan, but COVID, we'll leave that for COVID another time. And then you have Aaron Jones who's coming back less than 100%. All of a sudden, this Packers offense has a lot of issues and a lot of question marks. And defensively, they now face a Rams team that is coming in off of the bye. And the significance of the bye is the fact that now Matthew Stafford is healthy. He was hurt for the last 2 to 3 games that they've played, and that kind of went unnoticed generally in the news and overall. And what it's going to allow this offense to do is put Stafford back under center, which has quietly been coming out in some press conferences this week. That really opens up the Rams offense and McVay and how he likes to use play action, which is something that the Packers really struggle defending. So not only can it be an effective game for Stafford passing, but it's going to be a really big game for Henderson out of the backfield against this Packers defense that ranks 30th in the league against the run. And again, I'll always go back to something simple like net yards per play because it's so important. The Rams plus 1.0 net yards per play on the season, the Packers half a yard worse per game. That's the difference between the Rams at number 2 in the league and the Packers at number 10. So it's another spot similar to the Jets in Houston where this was on the wrong side of 0 for the opener, and it's corrected itself now, but I still think with everything coming together, the Rams on the money line is a bet you have to make this weekend.
Adam Chernoff is our guest from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap podcast. We've gotten your NFL analysis, Adam. Now it's time for you to give us your thoughts on the burning question here on this radio program this morning. There was a picture posted on the Leafs Lunch account yesterday featuring Al's brother, who could actually really use your gambling advice. He is a truly atrocious NFL bettor. He had his festive special, his Swiss Chalet festive special. All of the sauce accompanying the meal was poured on the chicken and the fries and the bun, and there's no dipping going on. It's just kind of a dousing of sorts on the meal. What is your interpretation of his approach to consuming Swiss Chalet? Is that how you do it?
I'm going to be honest. I heard this debate earlier, and I didn't come on the show almost because I heard there was support for the dousing of the festive special.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I saw the picture yesterday, and it was just a head shaker because, in general, the festive special is a beautiful plate of food. It's colorful, it's bright, it's vibrant, and you're just pouring. The chalet sauce is great, but you can't cover it. Come on. Especially in the takeout container in the picture. That was just a bad move.
Savor the flavor, man. Come on, just pour it on everything. It's the way to go.
You can still get it. Look, the food on the plate is the vehicle to deliver the sauce to your mouth. You don't put it on the food and then work off the plate. There's a reason it's in the container.
Wow.
Listen, his breakdown was spot on. Net yards per play and Swiss Chalet dousing analysis. This man is onto something. He is a five-tool threat. Thank you for doing this, my man. We appreciate it. I know the Covers community very excited about this appearance this morning, so it's been great to have you as part of the show.
You got it.
Thanks very much, and I'm looking forward to those two CFL games this weekend as well. There's some
You're a Regina guy, right? So it must be a little nerve-wracking for your Riders hosting Calgary, right?
I hear folks much smarter than I am like the Stampeder, so that's the direction I'll be going.
There's a couple on this radio show that may be leaning that way right now. Thanks for doing this, my man. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
See you, Adam.
All right, that is Adam Chernoff from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap Podcast. And full disclosure, Coco, I've talked about my degenerate gambling group, like my buddies who are all heavy bettors in the NFL, basically anything you can wager on. The group photo, the display picture of that text thread is a picture of Adam Chernoff.
Really?
Yes, that is the reverence. Because we tail him, and yeah, he's hitting at over 67% on his picks and props over the course of this NFL season. And listen, wow. In the CFL, like Derek Taylor and I are hitting over 70% on CFL props and wagers, but it's the CFL. I mean, it's a lot easier. There's way fewer games, and you kind of get some information that can lead you one way or another, and you know maybe some more stale lines in the Canadian Football League. To do that in the NFL is preposterous. He's been extremely successful, and again, I would encourage our audience to go and subscribe and listen to the Simple Handicap Podcast, which Adam posts every morning, and it's as good an insight into the week ahead in the NFL as you will find anywhere. I can guarantee you that. So thanks to Adam for joining us, and hopefully we make that a regular occurrence because he will definitely make you a much smarter NFL gambler. We have Bob Weeks coming up in about 5 minutes' time. We'll tee up Bryson versus Brooks, the match five today from the Wynn Golf Course in Las Vegas. Very excited to watch that. That's at 4 o'clock. We'll also get Bob's thoughts on could Tiger Woods be getting close to a return even as early as next month. Plus, Bob Weeks has been giving his curling picks on the TSN Edge account, so maybe we'll see if we can make some money from Mr. Weeks as well. That's all coming up on First Up. You're just like my favorite song going round, round my head. Like my favorite song going round, First Up continues here on TSN 1050. 20 Fingers spinning the hot beats today on the program. Shout out to him, doing a great job this morning. And when we look at the golf world, Coco, of course, Bryson and Brooks at the forefront today, 4 o'clock, the match five. It's Bryson, who's a slight betting favorite. But Tiger Woods, I mean, still moves the needle after all these years. 45 years old, posts a 3-second video last week, and the caption, making progress. So when Tiger returns to prominence, so does our next guest. It is Bob Weeks, TSN golf analyst, one of the hosts of Golf Talk Canada, making his long-awaited return to First Stop. Good morning, Bob.
Hello there. Yeah, I thought the golf season was over, and now it just never ends. It just keeps going, right?
Love it.
Well, we're gonna get to some discussion about golf trips. I need you to make some recommendations for my friends and I because
we need some.
We're talking Myrtle Beach. We're talking about Arizona. Now you have all the details on that. But why don't we start with the report yesterday at a Golf Week that they're leaving a spot open at the PNC Championship for Tiger and Charlie? What are you hearing behind the scenes about that possibility, Bob?
Yeah, that came to light about a week and a half ago that there were some sort of 1+1=father-son championship. You know, Tiger posted the video of him making progress. There was also some rumors about he and Charlie playing a couple of holes together, or at least walking a couple of holes together, or maybe more properly, riding a couple of holes together, but they were out playing golf. So there's all these little teasers. I still think it might be a bit of a stretch to think that they can do this. But the one advantage of playing in the father-son championship that might make it possible is that Tiger could ride in a cart. So I don't think he's ready to walk 72 holes or 54 holes or even 18 holes at this point from what we're hearing. But I think there's some legitimacy to this, and they might be able to sort of finagle a team way to get the ball around. So maybe Tiger's not ready to hit a driver off the tee. But if you recall last year when this, Charlie was hitting most of the drives because he was way up front. So, I think there's some realistic possibilities that might be when we see Tiger back on the golf course playing golf for the first time, which I think it starts December 16th.
I'm thinking that next golf season, Bob, I'm going to wear a compression sleeve on my right leg, just like Tiger, regardless of the health, just to maybe get that added boost.
Is that going
to
be the new look for golfers now?
Yeah, everybody.
Tiger rocked the red. People started wearing the red. He wore the T-dub hat. People wore the T-dub hat. Now this guy is going to rock the sleeve, and that's the thing you're going to see, people wearing sleeves on today because Tiger did it.
You know what? If you didn't think golfers already had bad enough tans with all sorts of strange lines, imagine when you take that thing off and go to the swimming pool, you're going to have one brown leg and one white leg.
I remember, man, there were times in the golf season where like I took my shoes off, my socks off, I looked down, and like my eyes were hurting because my feet were so white in comparison to the rest of my body. But I don't know, that's a couple months away, I suppose, at this point. But you know, you'll give us some golf destinations. Carlo and I may be thinking about some live remotes, Bob. Maybe the Golf Talk Canada crew could join us.
Right.
Could figure something out.
Sure, yeah.
Let's do it.
Go ahead, Coco.
Easy, we're happy to do that. Yeah, lots of good spots where we can get those funny tans.
So, Bob, you were teasing that, talking about Tiger's return next month at the PNC where he gets to play with his son. And you said that, you know, based on what you know about his health status, what do you know about his health status that may make people believe that maybe there is a chance that the Masters is where we could see Tiger Woods? I still think that's a stretch. How do you feel about that?
Listen, anything with Tiger is always based on a little bit of hard news and a lot of kind of speculation because he keeps everything pretty close to the vest. He's always done that. So, you know, we can look at a couple of clues. First off, what some of the other players are talking about who go to visit him, who, you know, Tiger's got a 3-hole golf course on his property in Florida. So they go out there and maybe hit some balls. And I think the general gist is from people like Justin Thomas and Rory is that, you know, Tiger's out there and he's hitting balls. The second thing that sort of tweaked my eye was when we saw that 3-second video, if you looked at what was around him, there was a ginormous bucket of balls. It wasn't the small bucket. It was a large bucket. There was a pretty healthy divot pattern, which means that he's been out there for a little bit. He wasn't just hitting one or two shots. He'd obviously been there for a little bit. And then he had his launch monitor is also there, which indicates that he's not just kind of hitting balls to see if he can do it, but probably kind of measuring where he's at, how far the balls are going and how the flight of the ball is, all that kind of information that he wants. So that all that kind of leads me to believe that he's probably further down the road than we'd led to have been believed maybe, you know, as early as, say, 3 weeks ago or a month ago. So that's kind of where we are. And I think Augusta is legitimate now based on those facts. It's still going to be, to me, not so much about him playing golf, but him getting around the golf course. You know, one of our good pals and now a TSN guy, Graham Dillette, has had the same issue. He can play golf with his buddies back in Boise where he lives, but he does that for 18 holes and he rides a cart. Walking the 18 holes is going to be the biggest mountain for anybody who's been injured to get back to competitive form.
Bob Weeks is our guest. You know him as TSN's golf analyst, one of the hosts of Golf Talk Canada. So today, 4 p.m., I'm pumped. Bryson versus Brooks. And I do feel, Bob, not to pour cold water on the event, at this point in time, considering all the time that has passed since the initial foray of Bryson versus Brooks and the Ryder Cup success and the hug, the acrimony between those two players, probably not what it once was, and they'll try to play it up today. For golf obsessors like you and I mean, we'll be dialed in for the entirety of the event, but how do you think the average fan kind of views this one at this point in time?
Well, as is the case with a lot of these things, you know, it's not so much about these guys playing golf. And so, you know, them out on the golf course is really only interesting if they start throwing barbs at each other or if in the announce booth, Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson kind of light them up a little bit. I don't think anybody's really here to see the shots. Yes, it's going to be great to see Bryson, you know, hit one of his monster long drives and perhaps Brooks try to match him. But I don't think the golf part of this is what's really driving us. It's those two guys back and forth. And yeah, we had a little hug at the Ryder Cup, a couple of them actually. It was a little bit forced, I think. But these guys don't like each other. It's pretty clear. But that's not uncommon on the PGA Tour. There's 156 guys who tee it up every week. And if you think they're all, you know, all on the same wavelength and lots of brotherly love going around, you know, you'd be wrong. There's lots of guys who don't like each other. Theirs has just played out. These guys are masters of social media. They've put it out in front, and perhaps, you know, their dislike for each other actually comes together to help them, because, you know, when the check clears on all these events and stuff, they're going to say, yeah, that's great. I do hate your brother, but I love you when I see my bank account. And I think that's kind of what this comes down to.
Bob, what can you tell us about what they have in store for this match? I know it's 12 holes. Is there certain games that they're playing on each hole? Is there going to be like people that are going to be, you know, riding alongside them that help, you know, push the conversation or the chirps or the banter? What do you know about it?
So from what I understand, it's going to be 12 holes match play, which means it could be over early, but I think they'll play all 12. There is a charitable component to this. There is going to be some in-game betting opportunities from what I've been told. So, you know, longest drive or who's going to win hole one or hole two or things like that, which I think they'll try to bring that up sort of organically. I don't know if it's really organically, but Brooks might say to Bryson, oh, hey, let's do this on this hole closest to the hole or something. And I think you got the Masters in Barkley and Mickelson who are going to be wired in so the players apparently can hear them. So they'll be sticking the needle in there, and those two guys can do it just about as good
nice.
As anybody in
Love
sports.
It.
So I think that part will drive things as well. It's in Vegas at a course called the Wynn, which is part of the Wynn Hotel. It used to be really kind of on the grounds of what some older guys might know as the Desert Inn, which we used to host a big PGA Tour event, the Tournament of Champions, where they'd pay people off in cash. So they, of course, the hope was that they'd go right to the casino and donate it back to the people who put it up. But it's a fun little golf course. I think there'll be hopefully some banter going back and forth and some shots. But there's as I said before, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much of the golf people will remember when this thing is all over.
Bob, in my group chats with my golf buddies, we've been trying to figure out a potential golf trip probably early next year, maybe February or March. I mean, you've been on countless golf trips. What would you recommend for the average Torontonian? Maybe something that is not overly expensive, but yet a great time to tee it up.
Well, you know, if you're talking about that kind of value budget vacation, then I think Myrtle Beach is a great place to go. They got about a 200 million golf courses there that you could choose from. And they're all pretty good. There's some better than others, obviously, but it's a pretty good value space. You can go down there, you can play golf, you know, 27 or 36 if you want, and have a nice steak dinner and some beers and watch the sports. That's a pretty good spot to go. I love the Carolinas, and there's some good, really nice spots down in the Carolinas, you know, in Hilton Head and those places. They're a little bit more ritzy, but you can find spots down there with some good value. And then if you go out in the West Coast, you know, there's some really good places in Arizona that will welcome you down, especially if you go maybe towards a little bit later in the winter. So maybe March and early April, where the high season starts to die off a little bit. Even Vegas, you know, there's some great golf in Vegas. It's not necessarily the cheapest golf, but you can find some packages there and make it work. And there's some really, really good golf courses. And of course the entertainment value is there. It all depends on your level of COVID acceptance and things like that, how much you want to risk and how much you feel comfortable doing. But those places are all pretty good. And as I say, there's still some value there you can find if you look, but it's starting to disappear as more and more people start to travel. That's what I've been hearing.
Well, if the price is a little bit exorbitant, just say, I know Bob Weeks, and you'll get 50% off guaranteed any golf course that you visit. He is Bob Weeks from TSN and Golf.Canada. Don't refute that, Bob. It's a fact.
They'll grab you by the collar and kick your arse out the front door if you say that.
Especially with that mustache he's got going on.
That is
right
true.
Now.
Oh, yeah, Bob, quickly, yes. any curling picks for us this weekend?
Wow, Tracy Fleury looks pretty good right now on the women's side, and I think Brad Gushue is going to be good on the men's
Fleury.
Side. But there's still a couple of draws you can get some wagering on, and there's some good odds if you look around. I'll be posting some stuff a little bit later on today about my picks for today's play.
I have my Twitter alerts already set. Thank you very much for the time, Bob. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
All right, that is Bob Weeks from Golf Talk Canada. And, yeah, he's also a curling gambling expert as well, Coco. Apparently his picks have been red hot on the TSN Edge Twitter account, so you're going to want to follow them there. I got a text from Al's brother. We know him as the host of Leafs Lunch from Overdrive. He says that I am spreading misinformation about his Swiss Chalet lunch. I'm very confused, surprised to hear that. So I think it's only natural we'll call up Al's brother on the other side to wrap up the week here on First Up. We'll be back with Al's brother next. Has almost arrived. What a journey it's been for the 5 days of the week. And, you know, I pride myself on someone with integrity, on accuracy, and when I'm accused of spreading misinformation, do not take kindly to such accusations. But that's exactly what's transpired with our next guest. You know him from Leafs Lunch and making atrocious NFL picks on Overdrive. He is Al's brother joining us here on First Up. Good morning, Al's brother.
Good morning, good morning. Although it's not been that great, but having to listen to your trash take about my Swiss Chalet board.
Okay, so let's clarify here. And if you missed what happened yesterday during Leafs Lunch, the lovely and talented Stephanie Appolito buying Swiss Chalet for the entire crew. And your Swiss Chalet order, Al's brother, at least the picture that was sent out on the Leafs Lunch account, had a whole bucket of sauce poured on the fries, chicken, and bun. I found that to be grotesque, but apparently that's something that I am misinforming the audience about. Can you explain?
Correct. It was a hot chicken sandwich is what it was. And you put
gravy.
Oh,
wow.
And it was great. It wasn't the chalet sauce. It was gravy. And that's what you do with it. And of course, you put gravy all over your French fries. And it wasn't a bun; it was stuffing. Which again, gravy belongs on your.
Yes,
stuffing.
Al's brother, okay. Give it to
Hold
him.
No,
give it to him.
Listen, I was mistaken. I don't know how, and no one informed me. Miss 20 Fingers, you were there with Al's brother. Why didn't you tell me that it was a chicken sandwich and not
too
a
busy,
quarter chicken?
He was too busy stuffing his own face in his own meal.
I would like to apologize to Al's brother. I would like to retract everything negative I said about this. And this is just something I was not informed about. I talked to Steph. I talked to 20 Fingers. No one told me this is what happened. So, Al's brother, I apologize.
All right, I accept the apology. I'm glad we got on the same. That's what I mean. It was a little bit misinformation, a little misleading. Adam was a little upset with me, and I'm like, Adam, you got all the information is wrong here. It's not the festive special. It's a hot chicken dinner, and it's gravy, not the chalet sauce, although chalet sauce also did make its way. But there was some dipping action with the chicken. I will say that. But
I would expect nothing less. Go ahead, Al's brother. All right, Al's brother is our guest. You know him from Leafs Lunch. And perhaps a subject for you guys, you and Julia, this afternoon, Al's brother, because in a little light on Leafs news, they do play tonight on TSN 1050 against the San Jose Sharks. But your producer, Steph, yesterday ordered Swiss Chalet. They delivered it. They did not include the stuffing in her order. She called the restaurant and forced them to deliver just the stuffing. How do you feel about your producer right now?
I think that's a pretty baller move, to be honest with you, because I know how much producer Steph loves her stuffing, and she probably just made the order because she wanted the stuffing. So good on her for making sure that she got that stuffing.
That's an exactly absolute it. Peacock move, if you ask me.
I am a peacock! Steph, you gotta let me fly!
Steph, one of the best in the business. She deserves whatever she wants, especially from the good people at Swiss Chalet. Well, Al's brother will be listening to
hold
you.
On, hold ahead, on, hold on, hold on. Just quickly, before we let him go, how did you do in your football picks yesterday?
I think you know how I did with my football picks.
I don't, I'm asking.
I actually don't know either.
We took
0-3.
Ah, what a lemon. What a mush.
Take that and stuff
it. Unbelievable. Brian Hayes is going to be putting his kids through school because of you and the O-Dog.
I believe the Thursday Thanksgiving slate was like for 500 too, the three games. Didn't they amp up the ante on those games?
They did.
Oh!
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, keep up the great work. You and Julia are crushing it on Leafs Lunch. And, man, you just suck at betting. It is impressive. Just follow Chernoff's picks, man.
Come on.
Follow Chernoff's picks. It's not rocket science. He's the best gambler in the country. Just follow whatever he says. You'll start winning.
Yeah, you're right. When he was rattling off the stats about the Jets, I was like, man, that just sounds so easy. I'm gonna have to start listening to that guy for sure.
Yeah. That would be advised. But we'll be listening to you and Julia at noon on Leafs Lunch. Al's brother, thank you very much for doing this. And again, my apologies for the misinformation.
I'm glad we could get it all cleared up. Have a good one, boys.
All right, buddy. All right, have a good weekend, man.
Al's brother from Leafs Lunch. And let's welcome in our producer, Arad, who has some big plans this weekend. He just informed us of during the commercial break. So, I mean, I have the Cardi party, the annual Cardi party, coming in my condo. But, Arad, you have something far more exciting than I do.
Does it include a haircut?
Yeah. does Arad want to share his weekend plans?
Yeah, sure. I'll share. I'll keep it anonymous. But I've been enlisted to assist with a very specific photo shoot, a boudoir/lingerie photo shoot this weekend.
What?
With the party right after.
You better send us pictures.
Wow. No, boudoir? Totally, like, I've never heard that term.
I would like to be invited again.
Bang!
No kidding. You want to keep those lines of communication open, Arad. Be very careful, because that's a connection you want to keep intact. So enjoy that, and you know, maybe some stories for us on Monday morning about what transpired during this photo shoot.
Absolutely. Stories and some results, I guess. We'll see what happens.
Well, we heard about your prom night yesterday during the morning scroll, so if anything can be taken from that, well, you know, I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen. I'm still kind of
reeling from that story. Shirts on, baby. Shirts on.
You got to be, you know, go straight 40-year-old virgin on prom night. You're a Rod Osbondy.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson!
Yeah, Kelly Clarkson. All right, well, it's been a great week here on First Up. A lot of exciting stuff. And a huge day of sports today with the match. Bryson Brooks at 4 and the Raps and
Ottawa,
Pacers. And
Ottawa plays the Ducks at 4, too.
Ooh, oh, really? Afternoon puck. I love it. All right. Yes. That's going to be awesome. Well, I'll be dialed in for that. And, yeah, probably go take a spin in my bamboo sheets. That's about 10:02 a.m., so that's my plan. What do you got going on this weekend,
When you
Coco?
Rub in that you're going to go take a nap, I just want to strangle you through this Zoom chat, because what I would do to take a nap in the afternoon.
Didn't you tell me 2 days ago you nap for 3 hours in the afternoon?
When the kids are in school, the kids are off today. There's no school for the kids today, so they're home. So it'd be really difficult for me to have a nap.
Hey, gee, can I take a 3-hour nap? We'll see you later. She's like, oh, really? Oh, really?
Well, think about the week we had with all the late games, right? We've had to nap in the afternoon if we had to stay up and get our content. So,
That's true. Well,
rough week, but what a great week it was.
Indeed. So
as we wrap up another week here on First Up.
For 20 Fingers, a fantastic job as our technical producer. Always great stuff from Arad. Have a great weekend, my friend. Looks like you have a gem lined up. Our intern, Luca, thank you for everything. I'm Aaron Kurolnik. He's Carlo Koliakovo. As we do every morning, not only Fridays, we end with this.
Ciao!
Bang!